Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and how are you? This is Rob Rourke of Texas saying how. Hello and howdy. We're going to continue talking about issues, political issues. You know, like we say, we like to talk a little politics, but we like to also hear what you have to say because that's what matters to us. Pardon me, I apologize. The weather don't look too friendly as now, so it's been raining a little bit. So I'd say if you are caught up in the rain or a shower or two, just kind of stay put. But other than that, I just want to say hello, have a nice day, and all like that. Our number here at Rob Rourke of Texas is 718-664-9825. Yes, and this is Rehash Saturday. We take some of these, some Saturday, and talk about things that have been said over the week on this show, and some things that may not have been said over this week. Pardon me, I apologize. But if we think about things, we need to look at, we want to see that our government works. Right now it doesn't. So let's start talking about, let's go from local to federal and talk about issues. First off, I want to give a shout out to a buddy of mine, member of the Bay Area New Democrats. His name's Doug Peterson, and he is running for Houston City Council at large position 3. Tuesday on the 8th, he's going to have a fundraiser at the Villa Capri. I believe it starts about 6:30 that evening. So if you believe in the idea of a Clear Lake voice in the Houston City Council, please go and support Doug. And frankly, I will say it this way. I endorse him, period. So my only regret is that I'm not able to get off to go there because, frankly, there's a speaker there that's going to be there and I really would like to meet. And I think it would be very intriguing to me. And that is one Nick Lamson. Pardon me. excuse me, folks. I'm going to take a little moment to do a Mark Rubio and have a drink of water. Oh, that felt good. Well, this past week we talked about the Donald and the state of the Donald and the GOP. You know, all the craziness that's been on social media about him and his gotcha questions, his gotcha responses to, you know, it's not my fault. They gave me a bunch of gotcha questions. It kind of sounds like what's going on in Washington right now, it's not my fault, it's theirs. Matter of fact, I just saw a little side note on Facebook. Mitch McConnell, Republican majority leader in the Senate, he is saying that there are not enough votes to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, I'm going to say it this way right up. I am a pro-life Democrat. And I'm also Irish Catholic. Pardon me. Again, I apologize. And I'm going to say I will support the idea of life versus abortion. I will say I also will say I admit that there are times where the circumstance could easily warrant it. And that is in the life of the mother. I also can say that, you know, we go into a whole long detail talk about abortion, an abortion issue, where I stand versus where the rest of the country and the different opinions there are out there. Well, all I'm going to say is this, I don't believe in it. I do believe that if it has to be, it belongs in the hospital as a hospital procedure. And I think that's where it should, if it's going to be somewhere, that's where it should be. Now, enough of that subject. Let's get back to little things that are a little bit more fun to talk about, like the state of the Donald and the GOP. You know, Donald, I really got to say this. You just do not understand what leadership is all about. When you're getting talked about in the National Enquirer and other scandal sheets as saying Trump to declare war, oh, good grief. Give the rest of the rational world a bit of credibility here, folks. Donald, are you that obnoxious? Are you that hell-bent on saying it's my way or the highway? You sound like, heaven forbid, a two-bit dictator in some foreign country. You know, the idea of this country is defined, could be defined on one word, and that's freedom. And heaven help us if you're running this country, because I think you're going to try to do more to take freedom away than any president that could ever even attempted to do. And that includes Richard Nixon, who, heaven forbid, is a Republican, or was a Republican. But, again, the idea of leadership is leading, is deciding on an agenda that will work for America and the free world. We're not looking at what is right for Donald. And having helped the GOP if he is a nominee. Having helped this country if he is elected. You know, you talk about what's wrong with America. There are people out there that could probably agree with you on the subject. But the way you say it kind of reminds me of Michael Douglas said in The American President about Richard Dreyfuss, and I'm paraphrasing here, folks. The problem with Donald is that it's not that he doesn't get it. He just can't sell it. And it's going to prove in the long run that he won't be able to sell it. We have to deal with people, yes, with a hard hand, when it comes to foreign policy and decisions on foreign policy. And a stern hand, and one that's also willing to say, I agree. Call diplomacy, Donald. And that's what makes us a leadership. You know, one could look at every presidential nomination, see the foreign dignitaries that come. Well, that only says one thing. The world still comes to America. Do you understand that, Donald? The world comes to America and looks. And that. They look to us for leadership. They look to us for guidance. We may seem overbearing at times, but the point is, we're a beacon. Mr. Reagan talked about the shining city on the hill. Well, that shining city has been kind of tarnished, and that light's kind of gotten a little bit dim. We don't need you. We as a nation, again, this follow-up to a Democratic response to the GOP, state of the Donald and the GOP. I'm going to get it right out, folks. We don't need a rough, arrogant businessman that would rather go, you're fired, than actually look at the idea of debating an issue. You know, I can stand here and talk all I want about immigration. At least I have a plan that can work. At least I have a plan that's going to benefit not just the people, not just, and it's, you know, and it can be tweaked. it will benefit the people along the southern border. You know, we have here in Houston, it's now been called, the, according to the Houstonia magazine, the new melting pot in America. And yet, we know we do have a problem on the border because it is very, could easily be defined at best as porous. Pardon me. So we need to come up, we need leaders, and not only in Congress, but in the White House, they're willing to take a stand and actually push for an idea, willing to debate it, talk about it, and in debate. You don't want to do that. Oh, yeah, you're standing up there because you're going to revel in your glory. All hail the Donald, the gospel according to Donald. But we don't need that. We need a leader. We need leadership, Donald Trump. We don't need a face, a voice that's rather give that person a kick in the backside out the door than talk about ways to making the world better. Well, folks, I'm off my stump speech for that. Again, that was a little bit of rehash or a follow-up to the state of the Donald and the GOP. Pardon me. So we talked also about, family courts. You know, like I said in the last time, 24 million kids across the globe, at least in studies taken done by the Daily Mail in Britain, the Washington Post, or Washington Times, I apologize. Census Bureau has indicated the same thing, and a group out of the Department of Health and Human Services have also talked about missing spot of dad in the families and the effect of it. Yes, there are fathers that are deadbeats. And then there are fathers that are trying every which way they can to make not just make ends meet, but support their children and be there for their children. You know, I could sound like I met a couple of dads, or quite a few of them, and we all formed a little group, a political action committee called ACFC Texas, American Coalition of Fathers and Children. Well, that has now become Family First Texas. Our idea is to try to seek change in the state legislature. This past legislative session, I helped through fixfamilycourts.org, or .com, I mean. Let's say Fix Family Courts. And Sherry Palmer. And Sherry, if I did some injustice to the email address, I apologize. I helped support, and I believe with my testimony before the state legislature this past legislative session, that we got a step forward, took it a step forward, and got an Equal Parental Rights Act passed the first round of committees. The fact that it died in a calendar committee, I guess the best way one can look at it is from this perspective. We all remember when the Oilers went to the two straight AFC championship games against the Steelers. One could say it this way. It's what Bone Phillips said. Our paraphrase the words of Bone Phillips. This year, we knocked on the door and we're allowed to step through. next year, we're going to make sure we not only walk through that door, we're going to stay there and keep going forward from one room to the next. So, you know, I said it this past time, or this last time, I have a daughter. I was put in a position where I had to give up my parental rights, and I lost custody. The thing is, I keep in touch with her. I send her emails through the system every couple of weeks to a month. I just hope she's reading them, and I hope she'll forgive me for not fighting hard enough. That's my issue. And that's why I called, once I get there, kind of a pet project of mine. And I'm going to push it. That's my pet project. That's my sole thing. But the other issues that I broadcast and talked about, that'll benefit the rest of this country. Yes, Devin's Law would benefit the divorced dads out there, the ones that are getting alienated. Because it's, and you know what's sad is, it's not a game of one-upsmanship between custodial and non-custodial parents. There should be, in the course, first option, last option should always be joint custody, period. Whether it be, whether these are the complete line, or complete points of reference, this is something like this can be negotiated in the state legislature. Joint managing conservators, domicile restrictions to a high school district. Each parent is responsible for child's expenses, where children and their and in their possession. Split medical expenses equally, 50-50. Split public school and extracurricular expenses equally, 50-50. Split the different, I'm not, this is where I'd say this might need some negotiating. Split difference in child support. And I say this is a definite stickler. And no designated primary parent. One thing Devin's Law will do, and this will fit into this proposed agreement that I just read off to you. Instead of alternate the federal income tax deductions for first mom in every odd year, dad in even years. Of course, parents must work for 6 consecutive months to receive. Instead of alternating the years, you know, the standard deduction for child support is $3,950. I suggest an even split right down the middle, 50-50, every year, which comes out to $1,950 per side of the issue. And I think that's what we can do. I think that's what I can do at the federal level. Okay, let's talk about another topic now. Education. I've talked about it before, about the idea of redefining education in this country. I'm not looking at doing a complete reshifting of everything at the Department of Education. I'm looking at the idea of change of procedures. And we can change procedures by, one, shifting. Because if you think about it, while Jimmy Carter is a good man, I think one of the mistakes I would have to criticize him on is the idea of shifting education out of what was health, education, and welfare to that of the Department of Education, making it a cabinet position. It was wrong. because it has created a bureaucracy. The greatest example of red tape. This is not what Lyndon Johnson talked about as far as education in this country. He believed in the idea of a public education and an equal education for everybody. When we have bureaucracy, we have politics in our education system, it doesn't work. There have been schools that have closed because of problems. Testing, standardized testing. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that instead of the overall package, because the overall package basically can be defined as this: we want to take politics out of the classroom. We want to make the teachers responsible for their classroom and the implementation of a set of standards for our children to be educated by. Now, the states and the school districts can tweak them and adjust them to fit their core curriculums. But the standards must be met, and the teacher should be the one allowed to implement. But let's talk about testing. I have been over the past year, since like about 2010, teachers, I'm looking at an old Houston Chronicle, dated January 11th, 2010. Teachers could be fired over scores. HISD board may vote to make them accountable for students' low marks. Here's an example of politics. Why does the testing have to be every year? I think we've all have heard on the newscast when they mentioned the testing every year, the comments of those sitting behind the news desk have said their son feels that it's a week of vacation. There have been reports over the years that the tests have been too easy, that teachers have taught the test. And I use this as an example. Another out of the Houston Chronicle, dated March 1st, 2012. Okay, 3 years ago. Anybody who tells you that they're not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher. That comes from a high school teacher in the Fort Bend ISD. Now, I think of it this way. Part of my education platform is talking about, or the plank is talking about, testing. We want tests that are standardized to actually challenge the student. But instead of every year, time taken out of their studies to be taught about the test or lectured on the test is not right. But if we had them staggered, like every 4 years, you know, we're talking K through 12. We have it at the fourth grade level when they're nearing the idea of middle school. When they're in eighth grade, when they're nearing the idea of going to high school, and then 12th grade, when they're about to graduate, maybe head to trade school, college, military. You stagger them, and it allows the teachers to teach. Of course, I would also say this. I think the idea of teaching our students how to take tests is something that is necessary. Use this as an example. I'll admit, my professors probably did in high school say, okay, you got an essay question on the test, or this is an essay test. That's about it. And I had a professor at the University of Houston at Clear Lake, And he, we all have probably in the past, we've had essay tests at the College Hill. Get the blue book out of the bookstore. Well, I guess one, I would get the one professor, and he was a good man. I'd get the one professor that not only graded me on my content, but he graded me on my grammar on an essay test. And that was the first time I ever had that. I surprised the living daylights out of me. I had passed by the skin of my teeth. And I'm not too proud to say that. Maybe I might not have applied myself in school to my betterment at times. But I tried to do what I could and how I could, when I could truly balance education, job, home affairs, and any free time I may have as a result. Well, I'll be honest and say, folks, it's enough of my being on my soapbox today. This has been Rehash Saturday, and every Saturday that we schedule, we're going to be looking at, we more than likely will have a rehash over the week's topics. But yet, we might not at that. Depends on how things go. I was a little, I'm going to be honest with you and say I was a little surprised that actually we lasted most of the 30 minutes. I'm looking at almost 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes to go. So I just want to say this week has been an interesting week. Ah, I look outside the window and I see the weather is starting to clear up. And I see the dark clouds are going bye-bye. And the ground's starting to dry up. But this is, it's going to be an interesting day today. End of the week. We've had high school football start. We've had school start. And we've also had, we're having college football starting. And then next week, go Texans. Hey, if you can get a chance to go party and tailgate at NRG, go there and enjoy yourself. Go there and enjoy the game. We're supposed to see the return of the Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney is supposed to be back on the grounds. Hey, if anybody wants to shoot me an email, do shoot me an email at rob@robrourke.us. That's Rob, R-O-B-B, at Rob Rourke, R-O-U-R, thank you, R-O-U-R-K-E.us. So, best I can say is, folks, we're going to be signing off in a little bit. Have a good day. Go enjoy a football game or two. I believe at 2 o'clock is supposed to be Virginia at UCLA. And, then of course, tonight on CBS on Channel 11 is Alabama-Wisconsin. Now, that's going to be the game I want to watch. Okay, I just heard the 60-second mark, so I'm just going to say very quickly, Shortcake, I want to give a shout-out to my favorite Shortcake. Kiddo, Papa Rob still loves you. He always will. Because you're always on my mind, kiddo. I love you very much. And to that, I say, have a great day, folks. Be careful. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the weather. If it's gotten cool, a little cooler, hey, great. But have a good day. Be careful. Stay safe. Godspeed. This has been Rob Rourke of Texas State. Check you later.